Well, the Rockets are about as cold as the city of Houston is tonight. Lost six in a row. It was a 131-119 final score. Michael Brown, that's really all I got to say. There's not much else to say.
Yeah, man, it's been an interesting day here in Houston. It only makes sense for it to be capped off with a loss to the Washington Wizards. Look, you got to applaud the Rockets' effort tonight. I will say that. I think they at least tried hard tonight. But when you're playing without Victor Oladipo, without PJ Tucker, without Christian Wood, Ray Spalding got hurt, you know, that... That didn't look good.
That was the exclamation point on just a horrible night.
Yeah, and I'm glad to see that the Rockets' streak of allowing run-of-the-mill NBA players have career nights against us, so that's awesome.
From Brad Beal, it was 37 was his lucky number tonight.
I mean, Raul Neto with 2 points, Robin Lopez with 12. I think that's it. The fact is, it's hard. I mean, this is a really tough streak for the team. But once again, I mean, where was Cousins down the stretch? It didn't shock you that Cousins wasn't on the court?
No.
I mean, okay. How many minutes did Cousins? I mean, he played 20 minutes tonight. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but there really was nothing else that Silas could do tonight.
I mean, if Boogie plays 25 or 30 minutes, do the Rockets win tonight?
Well, I don't know.
They don't win.
Yeah, tonight. but the fact is that between Mo Wagner and Robin Lopez, what, 27 points? Are you kidding me? You give up 27 points to that crap heap? I mean, Robin Lopez, I'm pretty sure, was the guy from the Power Rangers movie, yeah. Dr. Ooze. Like, the guy sucks.
Mike, when are you going to understand that DeMarcus Cousins is really bad defensively? And having him out of the game is probably the Rockets' best lineup defensively.
Oh, yeah, because they gave up 131 points tonight because DeMarcus Cousins was the issue. He wasn't the issue. The fact is that Ben McLemore is basically unplayable right now.
Maybe that's why he hasn't been playing.
Well, right, but McLemore played how many minutes tonight? He played 20 minutes and 1 of 6 from the 3-point, and he played no defense. They can't get the ball around. And that's before all of their guys got hurt. I knew tonight was probably going to be a loss because of the guys that were out, but I'm just saying that you can call DeMarcus Cousins terrible defensively, which I don't disagree with, but when you give up 27 points to crap big men with him only playing 20 minutes, that's a flaw in the rotation for tonight, at least the way I see it.
The thing is, Boogie's not going to play more than 20 minutes.
Then they have to go get two big men are not even being played right now by their teams because they're trying to figure out a way to trade them. The Rockets
we're not trading for Blake Griffin. We're not doing that.
No, but he's talked about being bought out. So you're going to tell me if Blake Griffin's on the street, you wouldn't make a run?
Blake Griffin says he wants to play competitive basketball, and the Rockets aren't in that core right now. They're not.
So you wouldn't trade for Andre Drummond?
No.
That's ridiculous.
No, it's completely rational, Mike.
He could be your center of the future.
For the future? Future?
Yeah. It's not Christian Wood.
2 months, maybe, yeah.
No.
He's a free agent at the end of the season, Mike. He's
gonna
walk.
But if you get him,
walk.
Okay. I'm just –
Christian Wood is your center of the future, Mike.
He's not – but he's better at the four.
Oh, my God. He hasn't even played the four at 1 minute in Houston. And so why do you think he's going to be the four?
Because they don't have a four.
Yes, they do.
Who's their four right now?
PJ Tucker is their four right now.
He's a small forward. He's not a four.
Oh, my God.
He's not a four.
Have you not watched a single game of Rockets basketball since PJ Tucker has gotten here? He's been the four.
He's been out of position since he's gotten here. playing the four. He's not a four. By NBA standards, he's not a four.
I don't know what to do.
Why?
Don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
He's not a four. You can say, I mean, you can say he's played the four, but he's not a four.
Well, that's what he is. That's where NBA coaches have put him. So that's what he is.
No, NBA okay. So while D'Antoni was here, yeah, he played him at the four, and we
played him at the five.
And that's stupid. And they had no real success with him at the five because he's not a five. He's not a five, and he's not a four. He's a three. His ideal position, I should say, is the three. Guys can play wherever they want, but by NBA standards, he is a three.
He's a four.
Okay, that's fine.
Four. I just. Like, okay, maybe his size warrants, but the thing is, PJ plays bigger than his size. So that's why he plays up. That's why Chuck Hayes played up, because he played bigger than his size. The way the NBA has gone, they've gone smaller. The whole league has gone smaller. That's why PJ Tucker, in most lineups, is beneficial at the four. I don't see, like, that's strictly, you know, basketball, you know, and how it's evolved. PJ Tucker is a four, and the Rockets are part of the evolution. The Rockets' Harden years and them moving PJ Tucker into that position. Yeah, PJ Tucker has been, like, even before he got to Houston, he was playing some four.
Okay.
So I don't know why, like, all of a sudden at age 35 he's going to change.
It's not about him changing. It's about creating. It's about creating a lineup that is most beneficial.
Those are going to get blown out because they're not quick enough. If you're going to play a guy on the three, the guy that plays the three generally needs to be quick. And he's not that.
Depends on who else. But so many people have said he's your best defender on this team. So he should be able to.
Jay Sean Tate is your best defender on this team. Okay. And then David Nwaba at number two. PJ might be number three.
So we found that. But I'm just saying, it depends on the rest of – you need size, man. You can't keep playing – put tonight aside, okay? We're not even going to talk about tonight for the most part because we were missing four guys.
It's really hard to look at this. It's hard to look at this game and evaluate this team because they've been injured. And the thing is, they've been injured this whole losing streak. So that is why this whole losing streak should be null and void. In my opinion, there are some flaws that have been exposed in this team of the players that have been playing, and it has come out into the light in these games, but the overall success of the team and whether or not this team is a contender or not cannot be dictated based on this current, you know, series. Now, if this stretch of six games turns into a stretch of 12 games and we're at the All-Star break and we're still without Christian Wood, then we might be so far into the hole that it's going to be too difficult to bury ourselves or get out of this hole. But the thing is, the Rockets don't own the rights to their own pick this season. That's why there's no reason to tank. There's no reason to tank. You don't build a culture by losing. If you build a losing culture by losing. You don't build a winning culture like the Rockets have been trying to do by losing games on purpose. Like, they're just not it. And they don't have any reason to, even. It's not like they're playing for, you know, the number one pick. It goes to Oklahoma City. So it's like there's no reason to tank. Let's tank the season. Like, why? Literally, why? Like, it just...
There's no reason.
Bothers me. It bothers me. Because you're not playing for anything. Look, if you're playing for the number one pick, that's one thing. That's one thing. And even then, I've never been about trying to lose games on purpose. It's just never... Like, that's not why you play basketball games. And to say that the Rockets have been tanking this, or, you know, they're trying to lose, is absolute... BS, total bullcrap, and I'm tired of seeing people, you know, after six losses say, oh yeah, season over, because honestly, it's just not it, Mike, and I'm glad to see, Mike, that you have changed your mindset about it, because last show you were not on that train, but glad to see you're popping on the Jeremy train now. Welcome aboard.
Well, I was pissed off last game.
You were really mad. That was
the
second most mad I've ever seen you. Maybe even the most.
But I am still mad, though. Like,
you can be mad. You can be mad about that game, but you can, if you look at the big picture. See, I'm a macro guy, I feel. Like, I feel like you're a micro guy, and you like to look at each game for what it is, and I'm a macro guy. I see the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is the Rockets are a young team. They're building a lot of culture. And
but wait a minute. Hold on.
This is just one game.
But hold on. Let me stop you there. Because when you say that they're a young team, right, they still haven't jumped on board with the youth movement. They have.
They have.
I mean, besides Tate, I mean, who do they play that's young? Seriously.
They play Mason Jones.
But they've, not consistently.
David Nwaba's not as old as you think.
But he's not as young as you
Sterling
think.
Sterling Brown's 25. Like, Christian Wood is 25. Like, they are significantly younger than the team they have. They are also utilizing the G League bubble to improve the real young, raw talent that this roster has. Let's talk. That's something we should be talking about. We should be talking about Kevin Porter. Because Kevin Porter
KJ balled Martin.
Out yet again. And KJ Martin also balled out today. Now,
Sorry, go ahead.
Now, I know how, like, I've seen you on Twitter today, and I've seen how other people are on Twitter today about how they feel about Kevin Porter and whether or not the team should bring him up now or if they should wait a little bit. Look, for those of you who did not catch the Vipers today, highly recommend you at least go and watch like a YouTube clip of Kevin Porter highlights. I'm going to pull up the Vipers box score from today just so I can get – but Kevin Porter had a real efficient game. He was I think he was like – at one point he made 11 of his first 15 shots. He's also leading the G League bubble in points per game, 26 per game in four games I think they've played. So that's – I mean, that's pretty impressive. And today he had – I want to say it was like 36, right?
Yeah, 32 today.
32? All right. 32.
And he's – Bullard put it really – while you bring that up, Bullard made a great point. And it seems like he's probably going to get with this team after the G League bubble is done. But it's – to me, I wouldn't keep him there that long. I mean, the dude is just playing at a level right now where – I mean – The biggest benefit to having Kevin Porter and KJ Martin down in the G League bubble is they're getting consistent run. Like they're gonna get those minutes regardless of who else is on the team. I know Broderick Thomas got picked up by them today. He had a good game. I should say he got picked up by the Vipers after being released from the Rockets. But if they come up here, like Porter's not taking minutes.
Thomas also had a good game.
Yeah, I mean, Porter's not taking minutes away from Eric Gordon. He's not going to take minutes away from – now, the thing is that the Rockets have a logjam at that position. They need to trade Ben McLemore. Ben McLemore has to go. He just – he's not good. He's regressed back to the –
The question is a team going to take Ben McLemore? And I'll say this with Ben McLemore. Yeah,
trade
tonight –
for a second-round pick.
Look, he did struggle tonight. I will say this, though. I don't think Ben McLemore's NBA career is over. And no. I think what you're seeing from the guys that were here last year, PJ, Daniel House, Ben McLemore, all three of them are having down years from the previous year. I think that has to do with the fact that James Harden made them a lot better. And yep. James Harden is that guy that makes players around you better. Another player that does that is Christian Wood. And I think that's why this team has not, you know, made as big of a stride in these games in which he's been hurt. You can tell why the team is struggling because he's not there. So what I'll say with this, I think Ben McLemore needs to go to a team that has a James Harden-like player to create opportunities for him. The Lakers make a lot of sense. I think Philly makes a lot of sense. They need some outside shooting. Dallas with Luka there. I think that a team like that makes sense for all three of those guys. So maybe that's where Rafael Stone will look to deal them if they look to do so. I don't think all three of those guys are getting traded. I think Daniel House will stay. However, Daniel House is one of those guys that could potentially take minutes away from Kevin Porter.
Yeah.
And I would rather have Kevin Porter play than Daniel House. I don't think anyone is really questioning that. I honestly think at this point, if the Rockets are going to be where they are, I think they really should look for a home. You know, they should really look for a home in the starting lineup for Kevin Porter. I really do. Like, when he comes, I think he should be starting or be one of the first two guys off the bench. I really feel strongly about that, because getting him here and not giving him a chance to get out of this rhythm that he's developing in the bubble is going to be crucial. And look, offensively, he's there. He has the ability to score. His passing ability is pretty good, for better than I expected. I think that has room for improvement as well. You saw James Harden, how his passing ability has gone from when he first joined the Rockets to now. And I think Kevin Porter is on that trajectory. He could be. If he really works towards it, I think that's where Kevin Porter's ceiling is, in terms of, you know, maybe just below James Harden. I don't think he's going to be actually as good as James Harden, but I think he can be pretty close.
Maybe
I'm just speaking out of my butt here, but I don't know. What I saw today, and look, it's G League talent. I get it. But this guy's 20. He's 20. He's got a lot of time left to develop and to get better. He's already so good for being a second-year player. This is my favorite Rafael Stone move, even more than the Christian Wood signing. Because I think the Christian Wood signing was just – the other teams in the league being dumb and not noticing it. But this move was the Rockets taking advantage of an opportunity. And they look like they've done a good job for now.
Yeah, I think it's his third best move behind Jayshon Tate and Christian Wood. And I only say Jayshon Tate is ahead of Kevin Porter in the sense that Jayshon Tate has shown for this team that he can play at the NBA level. You know what I mean? Like, Kevin Porter has not shown just yet that he can be a superstar. You know, he hasn't shown that he can be a superstar at this level. Neither is Jayshon Tate, for that matter. But Jayshon Tate is a stud. Kevin Porter, to be determined, for me. Like, it's a great move. It's a steal of a move. And that's – you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, that – the Rockets need to determine what road they want to go down. Like, are they a team that is playing for a playoff spot? And if so, then they need to focus on Eric Gordon, Christian Wood, John Wall, PJ Tucker being on the court. But if you just want to get ready for the future, they need to be playing KJ Martin. They need to be playing Kevin Porter. They need to be playing Tate. I want to see more of Mason Jones. You know what I mean? Like, that's my problem with – there's no direction to this team right now. And Craig Ackerman put it perfectly, that there's not a coach in the league that has had to deal with more than Steven Silas. Period. End of story. I don't want to hear about another team and what their head coach and what their front office has had to deal with, because it's not more than Steven Silas. You know, what did they do with Oladipo? What did they do with Tucker? What did they do with House? What did they do with McLemore? You know, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question, because there's so many different routes that they can go. I really do wonder what the trade market's going to be like for those guys. I think you can get something, but I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's go to our people that are watching us live here. Let's see. Rev asks, I was talking to Mike about this a little earlier. Between Drummond, Griffin, and Collins, which one of those three do we want to aggressively pursue? John Collins, 100%.
Yeah,
like 1,000%.
I want to clarify.
Absolutely.
I want to clarify what I was saying earlier. I think the Rockets, they just need to add another big. Like, you and I are on the same page. I don't care who plays the five. I don't care who plays the four. I want the best five out there. And I think that the Rockets would be most successful if they added another big to go along with Christian Wood. John Collins, to me, is the go get John Collins.
I think your move is you trade Victor Oladipo for a big and a pick.
For sure.
And then and then utilize, and then he can play the backup minutes, or, you know, I think he'll play the backup five, give Cousins a chance to, you know, not play as often as he has been. DeMarcus Cousins should not be part of this rotation after the trade deadline. He shouldn't be. There's no reason to play him. In fact, I wouldn't say trade DeMarcus Cousins, but if you get an offer for him, which they might, I would consider it. I mean, for a guy that – for a team that needs, like, a big that can, you know, space the floor and shoot threes and, you know, maybe. I don't know. But I don't think he's going to get a whole lot of trade interest, but that's someone that, you know, I don't think should be playing in the Rockets rotation. He doesn't offer anything for the Rockets' future at this point. So whoever – they should trade Vic for a young big who can play backup with Christian Wood. They can develop him. Jared Allen would have been perfect, but it's just – it's not Jared Allen, because the Cleveland is clearly making the room so that he can be the guy with announcing that they are going to deal Andre Drummond at some point. Now, getting Andre Drummond just doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because contenders will offer more. That's number one. And number two, he just doesn't – like, it just does – it's a lateral move for him. It's a lateral move for the Rockets. It doesn't make the Rockets, in my opinion, that much better at this point. I know we talked about it a few weeks ago and I was entertaining the idea, but I've since moved away from that. It seems like also he's not very happy playing for a bad team like the Cavs. So I think he's trying to go to a team that has a chance at a title this year, and the Rockets just simply are not that team. I think one of the top teams in the East, either Toronto, Toronto's interested in him. The Celtics might throw a decent offer towards Cleveland. I think he's going to end up in one of those two places. Grant.
Real quick on Boogie. I don't think they're going to move him because he's boys with John Wall and he's a cheap. Yeah. You know, he's on a vet minimum deal, and I don't think you're going to get much. And I think John Wall will definitely be here beyond this year. So I think keeping one of his best friends around on the end of the bench is not the end of the world.
Although I think he can get more than the vet minimum next year, possibly. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
If I'm the Rockets, I'm not offering it, but who knows? Yeah. Grant Flynn, what if we traded picks and Oladipo for Wiseman and put Wiseman and Wood in the front court? That's absolutely a no from me, Grant. I'm sorry. The Golden State Warriors have had so many opportunities to trade Wiseman, and the fact that they had the number two pick, kept the pick and drafted Wiseman shows me how much they really want him, and Golden State's not dealing James Wiseman anytime soon.
Well, it also makes no sense for me because they have Klay Thompson, and why would they give up Wiseman when Klay's coming back next year? They also have Kelly Oubre already there, and Oladipo probably walks at the end of the year. So that, thank you for the question, but James Wiseman, I would love James Wiseman, but it's not happening.
Mm-hmm. Now, prayers up for Spalding. That's the only part. I think we've talked about Kevin Porter Jr., but it's an Achilles injury, according to Kaylee Griffin. It's, in my opinion, I'd be surprised if we saw him again in a Rockets uniform this season, and probably ever. And that's really unfortunate, because you had a guy who was in the G League not even a week ago, and the Rockets made a move to go out and get him. And not two games in, playing very little, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just total unfortunate. But the Rockets are needing a big again. And I think they're going to – I would expect to move tomorrow. I would expect to move tomorrow to get another big.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful. I do wonder – I mean, Atlanta is in a tailspin right now. I wonder if the Rockets have enough to get Collins. I don't really know what Atlanta wants.
I think they'd want Vic.
Well, okay. Well, bye.
The thing is, what has been circulating today is that they're looking for a first round lottery pick, possibly, which the Rockets don't necessarily have. But they look, I don't know if I would spend that much for John Collins, considering the fact that there's no guarantee he's going to be here next year, unless the Rockets were like totally into the idea of, you know, matching any offer for him, which I don't know if you can be like that with a guy that hasn't even played for you. So I would think the Portland pick that the Rockets have this year is potential to go there. Victor Oladipo, I think, would sweeten the pot, because the Rockets – you know, it gives the Hawks a chance to make the playoffs this year. And I think, you know, they're getting something from John Collins, and you do need to match the salary somehow. The Rockets would also probably have to take back Tony Snell to match salaries if they were to give Victor Oladipo up. But yeah, it'd be like PJ, Vic, a Portland first, maybe a second for John Collins, Tony Snell.
I would do that. I wouldn't even think twice. And the thing is, this if they go get John Collins, Tillman Fertitta has to show what type of owner he is, right? Like, and what I mean by that is the Harden deal still doesn't get talked about enough, that they shed nearly $21 million in salary. He's I don't think he's going to be willing to spend the money on a guy like John Collins if his team doesn't have a shot at contending for a title.
Well, the thing about John Collins, look,
he's going to be expensive.
Look, I think people have missed the point on why Victor Oladipo came to Houston in the first place. And the biggest reason why was because he was a better player than Caris LeVert or a worse player than Caris LeVert or whatever. It was because his salary expires this year, and it gives the Rockets maximum flexibility to take that max salary slot and do whatever they wish with it. Now, John Collins is likely – look, it's clear that Atlanta is not going to be able to match. That's why they're looking to deal him. They're looking to see what they can get for him, because they're not sure if they can match, because they spent a ton of money in free agency this year getting Gallinari, getting Bogdanovich, getting Rondo. So they don't have that money to give John Collins what he's going to be worth, what a team is going to offer him. So that's why they're looking to deal him. And the only way the Rockets don't get John, in my opinion, the Rockets should offer him a max salary. And I don't think I legit think that if as long as he stays healthy, I think John Collins is worth the max, because someone is going to give him the max. He is a max player.
Well, so
like he'll get like 4 years, like $80 million.
Well, here's the thing, right? Like, there's two schools of thought with the Oladipo trade. Is that you and I are the two schools of thought. You think that was the creating a max slot, which I would love to be wrong about. I'm leaning towards an owner that never once went into the luxury tax for a team that was significant. When did he go into the luxury tax? Was it last year?
He went for Westbrook. Yes, the Rockets were definitely in the luxury tax last year, and if they weren't, that's very surprising in my
opinion. Okay, I want to go look, because I'm fair. Either way, it hasn't been more than 1 year. In my opinion, I think it was a salary slash is what it looks like to me, until I'm proven wrong. Would I pay John Collins a max slot?
$90 million a year, Mike. That would be like John Collins turned down a $90 million contract extension from the Hawks. So he's looking for he's seeking a max contract.
Let me ask you.
He averages 20 and 10, Mike. He averages 20 and 10, and he plays the four. He's a big guy that can play the four. He's what you're looking for. He's exactly what you want, Mike.
But he's a career 18 and 8 guy, which is basically 20 and 10. I'll give you that. You're going to give.
Who's 23 years old, who still has the best basketball ahead of him, essentially.
I hear you. This is friendly banter. I'm presenting the other side, that giving a max contract to a power forward who's never average, or his career average is not even 10 rebounds a game, that's risky. Just like giving Christian Wood his big deal was risky, but it's paid off.
Kind of last year.
The dude who? Collins? That was last year. Yeah, I'm looking at his career numbers. So in his career, 202 games played per Basketball Reference. This year he's averaging 18 and 8, but in his career he's averaging 16 and 8. 16 and 8. Giving that type of guy max money is risky. I think it's worth the risk if you can have Tillman Fertitta pay him. But let me ask you this.
You have a max salary open. Why?
I don't disagree with you, but if you're going to give a max salary.
Who else are you going to get here? John Collins would play here, I think.
I think he definitely would. Because
Houston is a team that will have a max slot available, so they can offer it to him. And he fits a role which is going to be vacated by P.J. Tucker when he eventually walks or is traded at the deadline. But him next to Christian Wood is totally – like, I love that fit. I really do. Because they can both play – they both of them have ability to play inside. Both of them have ability to play outside. Like, that is such a – like, that is such a beautiful marriage. And the thing is, like, max slots – like, look – Rev is saying Kawhi and Devin Booker. Rev, I don't know what you are smoking tonight, but hand it over.
So let me ask you a question.
Because Kawhi and Devin Booker are not going to come play here.
Let me ask you this question. Let's say you do sign John Collins, right? Let's say your starting five next year is John Wall, Kevin Porter Jr., Jayshon Tate, John Collins, and Christian Wood.
That's a
playoff. How good is – it's a playoff team.
That's at least a play-in team.
It's a damn good team. I would love me some John
Collins. As long as everyone is healthy, yeah.
I will say this, though, that I'm going to have to see it to believe it.
Gordon is your sixth man?
Yeah, if it got to my head, I don't think this team is going to add a max slot guy this offseason. I just don't see it.
But why?
I don't think Tillman's going to spend the money. I think he's going to look at this situation. All of his businesses have been destroyed during this whole pandemic, basically. And he looks at this team and he says, I'm not going to add that type of guy if my team doesn't have a chance at winning a title.
Well, then why not? Then why not trade for Caris LeVert, who makes less money than Victor Oladipo?
Because Oladipo comes off the books at the end of the year. Caris LeVert doesn't come off the books at the end of the year. That's
but you're paying more this year.
It doesn't matter. It's still coming up.
In which his businesses are all doing terribly.
Yeah, but it comes off at the end of the year, and he doesn't have any more money on his contract. Caris LeVert does. That makes my argument more plausible, is the fact that they acquired Victor Oladipo. Because at the end of the year, for James Harden on your roster, you don't have anybody. You have future draft capital down the line.
You need John Wall,
huh?
Or you said James Harden, but James Harden on the roster.
What I'm saying, you traded as a part of the James Harden trade. When Victor Oladipo walks, Victor Oladipo will not be back next season.
No.
I think he'll be gone by the deadline. But on your roster, after you get rid of Victor Oladipo, Tillman Fertitta will have successfully shaved $42 million off of his payroll in that one move. So
you go and fill that?
Maybe. I don't see it. I don't think he's going
to
do it.
If that's the case, then the NBA is going to have to investigate. Because having a guy that is that unwilling to spend, because look, you're gonna have to fill that money somehow.
Yeah, I think
you have to spend a certain amount of money.
I think it's gonna be shorter term guys. I think it's gonna be very similar to what the Knicks did.
You signed John Collins to like a 4-year deal.
But I think it's gonna be what the Knicks did a couple years ago when they signed Taj Gibson to the 2-year like $12 million deal. They signed Julius Randle. They signed Wayne Ellington. I think it's gonna be a situation like that this offseason. They're going to sign guys to much shorter-term deals, less money.
I think the thing is, when it comes to Tillman Fertitta, there have been a lot of rumors that come about that he's stingy, that he's cheap, that he's all of these negative connotations when it comes to his money. But Daryl Morey – and honestly, it's because of Daryl Morey. But Rafael Stone has disputed that. Steven Silas has disputed that. Look, the team was willing to go forward with James Harden and Russell Westbrook this season to keep all that money on the books. Tillman Fertitta wants to win. Let's get that right, too. Tillman Fertitta wants to win. And I think – look, I get where you're coming from, Mike. And I – look, if my business has lost a lot of money, maybe I would be a little bit, you know, hesitant. But also, like – I think Tillman Fertitta wants to win too. So, and while they might not be a championship team next year, they can make the playoffs. And I would rather have those playoff games for revenue and people coming into the building. Because if they're not a playoff team next year, the fans aren't going to come back. So it's like, I would put money that John Collins is getting a meeting with the Rockets. And that enough should show you that they're willing. Look, the guys that go for the 1201 meetings, they're not guys that you're not going to plan on offering a contract to at the end. The Rockets should honestly take John Collins and, you know, DeAndre Jordan him. Basically keep him in the room until they sign on the dotted line. Yeah. And I'm going to leave it at that. J-Train is pulling into the station. We have the Sixers on Wednesday. What are your thoughts about that?
There's a 12.5% chance Joel Embiid has 60 points and 40 rebounds.
All right. Well, we'll be here talking about the Rockets' seventh consecutive loss. I'll just leave it at that. But thank you to everyone who joined us today on our live edition of the Dream Take. Be sure to, if you like to listen to us on demand, be sure to subscribe and download the podcast in your podcast app of choice. Be sure to also follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take. You can also follow The Dream Shake on Twitter at Dream Shake SBN. You can catch all of our content over at thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets, on SBNation.com. Also, be sure to follow my co-pilot on Twitter, Michael Brown, at
BSW_MB.
And go follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. Thank you so much to everyone who came today. Be sure to stay safe, Houstonians. This ice storm is going to have effects all throughout the week, likely. So be safe, Houston. And thanks for tuning into the Dream Take, as always. Until next time, go Rockets!